So Richard Rohr, my spiritual mentor, as I call him, is a Franciscan priest. He talks about this concept of non-dualistic and dualistic thinking, and moving away from dualistic thinking to non-dualistic thinking, which is moving away from a kind of this or that approach to reality and relationships to a this and that. Seeing things in black and white versus seeing things in shades of gray. Being exclusive rather than inclusive. And in a way, that's kind of my being here is part of that. You know, this Pentecostal, Baptist, Luther, Catholic guy is here at St. Matthew's. And you opened the door to, with all the risks that that brings, that some theological faux pas might come out of my mouth and disturb the whole Episcopal thing. But but you know, we are people are embracing the grounding of their traditions while being open to what works, just as you are doing. Like as Dr. Phil often asks people who come to him with their problematic lifestyle, after they describe their trauma and behavior, he said, "And how is that working for you?" So we're moving now towards a world where if it's not working, we'll let it go. And we'll join with people whose lives work and or whose ideas work. Non-dual thinking, then, is like that. It's contemplative, and it's across all denominations. People within denominations are moving towards prayer and meditation into a oneness with God, the self, and with others and the world. Yeah, this dualistic thinking is driven by our traditions, our values, our groups, the rules that are involved in them that keep us all feeling secure. And with great ideas. And then non-dualistic thinking includes that, but it also involves a relational thing, relationship with God, which then connects us with all other human beings and develops a spiritual growth even as we grow socially and allows us to transcend our traditions. This is the radical way of Jesus in which we can then love our enemies and pray for those who offend us because we experience oneness with everything. Jesus said, "I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine grower. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine," he says, "and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." You know, political parties are the ultimate dualism. And our dedication to a two-party system probably is most telling about us Americans. So are you pro-Democrat or pro-Republican? Are you pro-Israel or pro-Palestinian? Are you pro-poor people of color? Or are you pro-cop? Are you an anti-racist or are you a racist? Are you a pro-perpetrator or pro-victim? Are you pro-white or pro-black or people of color? Well, on a deeper level, we know that non-dualistic thinking or this and thinking is really the truth. But our structures and traditions demand that we pretend otherwise, or we might be ostracized for being disloyal to our clan. We often resonate with people across the divide. black and white, male and female, Democrat, Republican, etc. But then the roll is called. And you are demanded to fall in line behind your tradition. And you must now begin to throw stones at the other side. Because of dualistic thinking, communities lived separately in ethnic silos and forced by law and tradition in our very country. Hard lines between perceived races and soft lines between ethnicities. When these silos were removed, these designated spaces, by law and ordinance, we thought the problems were solved. But as black people began to move into white areas, dualistic thinking of separatist tradition kicked in, as it always does. Whites fled, middle-class whites, and middle-class blacks fled, creating a new duality with lines drawn hard by class. And the American value of equality has again been trumped by the American dream of superiority. The American idea of diversity is again trumped by the human attraction to exclusivity. But Jesus, through the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount and the Acts of the early Christian, is calling us back to a new understanding of community. It is based on the idea of oneness. Oneness with ourselves, oneness with God, and oneness with humanity. In a deeper reality, there is no dualism. Either or is a shallow interpretation of reality. Suburb versus city, black versus white, cop versus minorities, Republican versus Democrats. Let me give you the story of our denied oneness from the point of view of our North Side maladies. You know the North Side. You read recently in the Star Tribune that people from outside the North Side make up much more than half of our drug buyers. I don't know if you read that. They come from Edina, Eden Prairie, and Golden Valley, I'm quoting, to buy drugs in the most crime-ridden blocks of North Minneapolis. They trade cash for marijuana, cocaine, and methamphetamines, and then are gone. Of all arrests, nearly one in seven arrests are residents from the city's affluent, predominantly white, western suburbs. They're arrested on my block in North Minneapolis, by North Commons Park and Falwell Park, on Penn Avenue, on Lowry, and on West Broadway, buying drugs from poor black people, North Minneapolis residents. Not only that, we have white Johns from Mound, meeting white black prostitutes and white prostitutes from Blaine and Brooklyn Center on Lowry Avenue in North Minneapolis. We have a rich Middle Eastern slumlord from Roseville, renting to poor black, brown, and Asian tenants from Chicago, Mexico, and Southeast Asia. In 130 crisis properties in North Minneapolis. We have white investors from Little Canada doing straw sales to their white friends from Plymouth, Edina, Minnetrista, and Eden Prairie on 200 neglected properties lived in by former Hmong war veterans and allies from the refugee camps in Thailand on Ilian Avenue North and all over the alphabetized streets of North Minneapolis. We have Middle Eastern convenience store owners from New Hope selling hot Cheetos and Takis and no fruit and veggies at the food desert at Penn and Golden Valley Avenues North to black families in North Minneapolis. We have middle-class pastors who've never lived in North, pastoring poor people who can't leave North, all over North Minneapolis. We have middle-class black pastors pastoring congregations of middle and upper-class suburbanite parishioners who drive in from 24 suburban communities for church back in the authentic hood of North Minneapolis. Not only that, we have a guy from St. Paul drive in to murder another guy from St. Cloud on our fledgling and vulnerable eco-village near Lowry and 94 in North Minneapolis. But we also have 30% of the city's 850 cops who are 80% white working in North Minneapolis, where there is 15% of the city's population that is almost 50% black. And I only know of one cop who lives in North Minneapolis. The percentages are worse, and the pattern the same for firefighters, teachers, and social workers. All make a good middle class living there with great benefits, and then take their social and financial capital to enrich inner and outer ring suburbs. Wouldn't it be great if we could make our oneness a positive social, economic, political, racial, and ethnic, class, denominational, and religious, sexual reality? Wouldn't it be great if once and for all we would live out the unity instructed in the concept that Jesus is the vine and all humans are the branches, and that we will be separated not by the shape of our leaves or the color of our bark or the height of our boughs, but by the fruit we bear. My high school biology class taught me that branches and leaves receive mineral nutrients from the roots and the vine or trunk of a plant by the cohesion tension. Do I sound intelligent? Thus, they get what it takes to produce fruit. By the cohesion tension theory, when sunlight strikes a leaf, the resultant evaporation first causes a drop in the leaf water potential. And this causes water to move from the stem to the leaf, lowering the water potential in the stem, which in turn causes water to move from the root to the stem and soil to root. And this serves to pull water up through the xylem tissue of the plant. I don't know if you remember your biology class. Remember that xylem and phloem thing. Now, the major mechanism for long-distance water transport, which is what that is called, is described by the cohesion tension theory, whereby the driving force of transport is transpiration, that is, the evaporation of water from the leaf surfaces. Water molecules cohere or stick together and are pulled up the plant by the tension or pulling force and exerted by the evaporation at the leaf surface. Am I getting paid for this science lesson? Now, I just went through that to get you to think about the vine and the branches and the leaves. To be connected to the church or even Christ religiously is not enough. We need to abide in Him. Spend time with Him. That's the cohesion tension. spiritual cohesion tension. Spending time with Christ, praying and meditating with Him, so that the mystery of cohesion tension can come into play in our lives. Episcopalian individuals, Catholic individuals, Baptist individuals, Pentecostals now go deeper than our shallow denominational affiliations and connect with God directly through Christ. We must connect with our siblings of all faiths in the Spirit of Christ, the one tree fed by the same cohesion tension, expressing our connectedness by the fruit we bear. Let us break down the walls again and let love flow from the vine to the branch, from branch to stem to fruit. Let us not be defined by what we are against, but by the fruit we bear and the love we all have for all. I believe we have an opportunity to demonstrate in our geographic communities a defiance of the pull to dualism, separateness, homogeneity, belongingness, identity politics, classism, racism, alliances, and social solidarities. Mature Christians must now move into oneness with God, oneness with creation, and with all humanity across all man-made and geographical boundaries. Relocating, integrating, empathizing, connecting, forgiving, reconciling, we must go against the grain of all separations and categorizations, break down the walls, lower every mountain, raise every valley, usher in the kingdom where there is no Jew or Gentile, male or female, rich nor poor, Protestant nor Catholic, white or black, where our primary affiliation is our affiliation through the vine that connects and nurtures all. That vine that only the Father prunes and on which we bear much fruit. Amen.